Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterble Show. You know, we are losing some of the greats at a greatly increased rate. Loss of Vin Scully just a couple of weeks ago, and now in these last days, David McCullough, who is a best-selling explorer of America's past, as the New York Times described him, somebody who is so instrumental with so many important pieces. That he wrote, 1776, John Adams, Truman, the Pioneers, and that little teeny tiny project called The Civil War with Ken Burns. An incredible, incredible man who has passed away. And I want to bring back onto the program a good friend of ours, Vince Benedetto. He is from Bold Gold Broadcasting. We became fast friends at Talkers a couple of years ago. And I want to welcome you back to the show, Vince.
Man, it is so good to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, David McCullough is a very special person because he was almost like a one-man repository of America's great history, right?
He was. I adore and adored that man. He's probably our greatest, America's greatest historian, certainly one of the greatest. And I think, you know, he rightfully is acknowledged as that by so many of his peers because he was... He recognized that teaching history, which he did for so many millions of people, was really the art of storytelling. And you know, he was fond of saying that the only way to teach history is through the vehicle of telling a story. And he would constantly remind people, and he said this all the time, said history is human. You know, the people that made those moments in our history, they weren't superhumans. They didn't know they were making history at that moment in all instances. They were people struggling and trying to do something under enormous stresses and strains and crisis and moments in our history that we look back at as glorious moments, like 1776. And I encourage everybody listening to, if they have not, read his book, 1776. He puts you on the battlefield with all the challenges and dynamics at work that stressed and challenged our founders and George Washington. And, you know, you get the sense that this was not a glorious moment. Mm-hmm. It is now to us looking back, but this was a dangerous time. It was deadly. It was dark. The future was far from certain. And they were improvising as they went in many cases, trying to apply their vast knowledge of history that our founders had. And, you know, they were flawed people who were able to rise above these flaws, and he was able to bring those things to life in a way through the storytelling that very few other people have been able to do in our history, and he will be sorely missed, but remembered because his works will live on.
Do you worry about, I can guess the answer, but your level of concern about the remaking of all of this history and the changing of it, or the de-emphasizing some of these great moments and instead turning them into nothing but villains?
Yes. Yes, and I think he worried about that. I mean, one of the things, you know, David spoke about was... you know, that we were raising generations now, and he was worried this would continue in the future of historically illiterate people. You know, and he said that, look, more of this has to be done at home, you know, more discussion of history around the dinner table. And he talked about teachers and teaching that, you know, you shouldn't go to school to be a teacher. You should learn a subject matter that right. You are passionate about, and whether math, science, history, and transfer that love of that knowledge you have to students, and only then that passion, you know, can you be effective in telling those stories. And so, yeah, he worried about those things. And I think a lot of our problems today are just simply ignorance. And that's why I think his books hopefully have a renaissance, if you will. You know, he wrote the other book that I would encourage for folks that have not read his works, read his book called The Great Bridge, and it was about the Brooklyn Bridge. Right. And I'll use this analogy to tie into what you were saying. He loved the fact that he thought the Brooklyn Bridge, which was built in the 1880s, it's almost 140 years old, when he studied this, he thought, how did we do this in the 1800s? like the engineering, the risk, the ambition that had to happen. He called it America's Eiffel Tower, the Brooklyn Bridge. And he's given an interview a little over 10 years ago or so. And the interviewee says, boy, well, it's been standing for over 130 years now. How long do you think she still has left? You know, and he looked at the interviewer and he said, let me get the words. He says, forever. He says, if we have a civilization wise enough and appreciative enough to take care of her. And that's really America, right? I mean, right. You know, and David was our Brooklyn Bridge of historians. And so I think that's the answer he would undoubtedly give. And certainly his body of work represents that sentiment.
And certainly not to put too tight of a bow on it, but John Roebling is an immigrant that comes to the United States and builds arguably one of the greatest feats of engineering in human history.
Exactly. And he is the quintessential American dream story. You know, he does the seemingly impossible because he comes to a country with very little and because of the nature of America is able to do something, you know, great and permanent and enduring.
Great to catch up with you, Vince Benedetto, because the reality is we have de-emphasized the great accomplishments. We are not perfect. Nobody has ever asserted that we were a perfect people, but we have done great things for the benefit of the broader humanity. I mean, we look with awe at what the Romans built, understanding full well that the Romans were a corrupted human group of people, just like we are, right? But we recognize the Colosseum still standing 3,000 years, yeah. 2,000 years later, or the yeah. Egyptians with the pyramids. I mean, we see this. But we seem to be embarrassed by the achievements. How do we overcome that?
So, you know, David McCulloch was an enormously grateful and humble person, and I think he thought that ignorance towards history was a sign of ingratitude, really. And you know, he actually said, you know, the laws we live by, the freedoms we enjoy, the institutions that we take for granted, are all the work of other people. And to be indifferent to that isn't just ignorant; it's to be rude and ungrateful. And, you know, I think he appreciated these things because you cannot study American history. I mean, most of human history, and this yep. is what I think people who study American history and really develop a passion for it start to glean. Most of recorded history is dark. It may have inspiring moments. There's great accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Romans have built amazing things. But the American story is an aspirational story.
Yes.
It's because when you study history and the long, dark tyrannies, and you see the shortcomings of human beings, because that's what this was about, humanity. He was a study of he was a student of human nature, and that's what made him good at telling stories, is when you recognize the shortcomings of human beings, all of us, it's only then can you really appreciate the great achievement that is the United States of America. And to dismiss those things or belittle those things, you know, is really a sign of ingratitude and ignorance. And I don't think anybody who hates our history, mm-hmm. You know, in total hates our history, not certain parts of it, but in total, I always feel that they must not understand it, or their teaching of it was not a genuine learning of it. Because I find it very difficult. People who truly study and immerse themselves in American history could hate our history, because it is a history of overcoming the darkest things of human nature. Yeah. And laying down markers, as we discussed in our last talk, that our founders certainly did, to give the tools to the people to build a more perfect union. And you know, political science is the study of this. And when you look at, like, Federalist One,
yep.
you know, Alexander Hamilton immediately comes out and he basically says, look, this is an experiment. We're going to learn through this whether human beings are destined to learn to live under you know, accident and force, or yep. whether, you know, we have it in our power to do something better for ourselves, and that, you know, political science and our learning and knowledge has reached a point where perhaps we can do something better.
That's
and
right.
we can create a new world order, if you will, on how governments can be organized and interact with their citizens. And so this is still a great experiment.
Sure.
I think David McCulloch, what we owe to him is a debt of gratitude, because he tells these stories in a way that brings them to life. Like when he writes about Harry Truman, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The story of Truman is also a beautiful American.
Absolutely.
Story. And when you look at what he had to overcome, and
right.
how many times people discounted him and counted him out, and he overcame it. It's the perseverance that matters. And so he tells these stories better than anybody who's ever written of them and told these stories, and he will
indeed
live on much like the Brooklyn Bridge for as long as his books are read. You know, he will be remembered
for sure.
He will be teaching us for many generations to come.
Great to have you on. Can't wait to have you back. Vince Benedetto, appreciate you being out there, my friend.
Thank you.
You got it.